Again, this is Starks versus Walmart Stores. The counsel for the appellant may approach. And Mr. Welsh, you may proceed.
May it please the court. I've been here in the last 4 or 5 years on 2 or 3 slip and fall cases. And I'm not doing a very good job up here, so maybe the law of average is going to catch up to me. You know, I think of this case, what was it, about 12 years ago, we bought a house in an area for old people, and the drain spout came down alongside of the garage and then went right into the driveway. And I told Donna, we got to change that. What for? It can now just roll into the sewer, down the driveway into the sewer. I said, because someone is going to walk up that with that water, and in bad weather, it freezes, and they're going to fall. And she said, you're right. And she turned it so that now it goes towards the flowers during the summer and during the winter. But we don't have a problem with ice on that driveway. You know, I was looking at the defendant's briefs to you, and they cite this Downey versus Western Community College, and it goes right down the line, if you follow it. Here we have Walmart building this store in 2004, and they put that drain pipe right in an area where people are walking.
But we don't have a negligent construction case here, right?
No, yeah. No. I think that the judge is probably right, except for 10 years they've known that the drain pipe is there.
Was there anybody deposed on behalf of Walmart regarding that drain pipe? My understanding of the record is the only person who spoke to the existence of the drain pipe was Mr. Starks.
Correct. He and Mr. Starks, you know, for some reason the district court judge felt that a person who's been in construction all his life and shovels and removes snow and ice and so forth is not an expert. Well, that's wrong. You don't need that kind of an expert. And he testified that the water was coming out of the drain pipe at a slow pace, and that it wasn't very far, and there you have the ice. They talked about it being 5x5, and it was black ice. You've got a store who's been there for 10 years, knows about that, knows about the danger, knows about the hazard of a downspout, drain spout coming out, and there being black ice. We have a day there that it was 33 degrees. It was windy, it was cold, and black ice is not something that you actually can see, but the owner of a store like this, they're experts, and they don't want their customers to get hurt. And in this particular case, all they had to do was either turn that spout, put it down in the ground, just prevent it. They knew about it for 10 years and didn't do anything about it.
Well, you say they knew about it, but what evidence is there that they knew about?
There was nothing said, and we're, again, we're talking about a fact question, you know. And in this situation, we know that drain pipe was there for some time. They didn't make it 2 minutes before all this happened. And they're the experts in all of this. They had to know that this drain pipe would cause and is causing a hazard.
Don't we have to know, or don't we have to show, though, that they knew that on the day in question there was perhaps liquid coming from the drain pipe that could have caused ice to form? Isn't that what we really have to focus on, time frame wise?
I can ask a 5 or 6 year old, what happens? What's that drain pipe being doing there, son? Well, that drain pipe, Dad, it lets water flow out. It's a spout. It doesn't take an expert to determine that we have a situation here that is a hazard. It is the cause of the ice.
The court didn't say an expert was required, did it?
No.
No.
And
the,
but they kind of...
said there was no evidence of Walmart's actual or constructive knowledge.
Come on. Constructive knowledge of a drain pipe like this?
Well, isn't it constructive knowledge of the existence of ice on the day of the accident?
But you can... If you've got a drain pipe... It doesn't take a brain to know that it's going to form ice. And this has been there for some time. We are talking about people that know what their customers have got to go through. They know the rock walkway. They put it there. And they put the drain there. They put the drain pipe there. All I'm saying is, this is not one of these cases that I've had in front of you where some pickle juice got spilled on the floor inside the store. This is a situation where we got a drain pipe that's been there, and we know that water goes down there, and we know, it doesn't take a brain, we know that ice forms when it gets cold. I was going to go through all of this, but I think you've covered everything for me, but created a condition and so forth, and created a condition of black ice. And by the exercise of just reasonable care, if you want to stick a mop up it, go ahead. But at least you know that it's got water coming out of it. Turn it another way. Do something with it to prevent this from happening. It doesn't take much to prevent it from happening. And we all know that ice is a hazard. And under the circumstances, they would expect that black ice especially, you're not going to see. And when you step on ice, you fall. Unless you got your ice skates on. But this was only a half an inch.
Let me get clarity on that. Are you taking the position that they're responsible because they created the condition or that they had constructive knowledge of it?
Both.
You're arguing both?
I'm arguing both. They created the condition, and they should have known of the condition. I mean, anybody, using my example of my pipe drain spout in the driveway, it just doesn't take a brain to understand that, we're in Omaha, Nebraska. It gets cold. It freezes. Ice freezes once it comes out of the spout. And in this particular case, we've got a danger that is the black ice, and they just failed to use reasonable care to protect their people coming to their store that they make all kinds of money from.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Mr. Martin.
Counsel, Your Honors, good morning.
Good morning.
George Martin from Baird Home Law Firm, represent Walmart Stores. Constructive notice, and I think everybody agrees this is a constructive notice case, has two components. And the first I want to talk about is the hazard has to be visible and apparent. The record here was that after Ms. Starks fell, even after she fell and she looked back, she couldn't discern that there was ice. Her testimony was she had to get right up close to it and inspect it to determine that it was ice and not just a wet sidewalk. And if there's ever evidence that supports a court's conclusion that a hazard isn't visible and apparent, it's when the person who slipped on the hazard says, I couldn't tell what it was even after I was laying on the ground. I had to go over and really inspect it closely. And so there's
just
no...
Just because a person doesn't see the condition beforehand, though, doesn't make that not visible or apparent.
No, I'm not arguing that. The specific facts of this case are such that after she fell, she said, even after I fell, I looked over and I couldn't tell if it was just wet or ice. And then I had to go and look very closely to determine that there was some ice.
But isn't the question whether Walmart or the employees of Walmart, it would be visible and apparent to them they know that they have a drain spout that empties out onto the sidewalk. And so doesn't that give them some duty to check that when it's when there's water, when there's been rain and it's about freezing? So doesn't that give them some duty to examine, or, you know, and it would might be visible and apparent to somebody who's looking for it, as
sure.
opposed to the casual walker who's not looking for
sure.
it.
Sure. Well, there was no evidence developed about when the last time that area was inspected, so the record's silent as to that. The only record we have before us is that no one from Walmart knew that ice had formed there. And
it's not even that precise, is it, though? The general or assistant manager says we haven't had an issue there, to his knowledge.
Correct.
I mean, he didn't really, he acknowledged there was ice there. The photographs show there's ice.
Correct.
And so all the assistant manager says is, to my knowledge, there's been no prior issues there. He didn't say when, like prior issues that day or within the hour. He
right.
didn't specify time frame at all, did he?
He didn't. What you're describing is the extent of the record.
Yeah.
And
we don't have records of how often they might have inspected the sidewalk or anything like that, that we often do inside a store, right?
Right. There's no, there's nothing in this record about how Walmart goes about doing that. I could right. testify to that, but there's nothing in the record here.
So. Is your position then that even if they had gone out and looked at it, it's invisible, they couldn't have seen it?
My position is that if the person who slipped and fell on it rolled over and couldn't discern that it was ice, that is very strong evidence it's not visible or apparent.
Well, she said, though, that the ice was clear, so she couldn't really tell whether it was ice or water.
Right.
But when she was on the ground, it looked clear, and then we seen that it's ice.
Right.
So.
And there's pictures in the record where it's visible, correct?
Correct, yeah. And I don't know the duration of time between when she slipped and fell and when that picture was taken, but clearly the pictures depict that there's ice there. I think the court's finding was that on the facts of this case and based on Mrs. Stark's testimony, there was no basis to find that it was a visible and apparent hazard. There was no other evidence in the record about how visible it might have been prior to her fall other than what she told us about after she fell. Second component of constructive notice is sufficient length of time, and to make sure we get there, I'm going to start with Mr. Starks, and I think it's important to note that his testimony about how long the ice had been there was preceded with the words, if I had to guess. And you know, the Edwards v. Hy-Vee case says, and I think there's lots of other cases that say, if you have to rely upon speculation or guesswork to determine a factual issue, that's not sufficient to survive summary judgment. So,
but isn't ice distinguishable from the cases that involve liquid, you know, water on the store floor or spilled juice or soap or whatever? I mean, ice doesn't instantly form.
Doesn't, well, it instantly forms, it goes from water to ice at some point.
Right.
Right.
But to be, and I understand that the evidence is, it was about a half inch thick.
That's what the testimony was, yes ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So isn't that distinguishable from the cases where you can't say for certain how long something has existed?
Right. I don't think so for purposes of this case because we don't know how long that ice was there. There's nothing in the record to say that. We don't have an expert. We just have a fellow who's a hardworking guy that said, gosh, in my experience, if I had to guess, it was there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think certainly it could be different if there was an expert who had come and said, for the ice to have been as thick as it's depicted in these pictures, it would have started forming over a 3 or 4 hour period. But we don't have that in the record. All we know is there's no problems, and then there's a slip and fall due to ice.
Our standard here is whether there's a material issue of fact.
I'm sorry, Aaron?
Our standard here, this is summary judgment. This isn't the end of the case. So doesn't that play into this?
Again, I don't believe so, Your Honor. There's no evidence, none whatsoever, about how long that ice was there. And Nebraska law is pretty clear that without that piece of information, there's nothing to go forward on.
Well, what about, are you familiar with the Abbott Sports Complex case, the hole in the soccer field?
Yes.
And the court, the Supreme Court reversed the summary judgment grant for the defendant and said the plaintiff's entitled to an inference that the hole did not come into existence during the match.
Right.
So aren't the plaintiffs here entitled to a similar inference that the ice didn't come into existence immediately before Mrs. Starks fell?
I think that this gets down into the facts, obviously, of the two cases. The hole not forming during the game, we know what time the game started. We can make observations about the hole, and we can say, okay, this wasn't it. You know, if the injury occurred at 2:20, I don't remember if they go through the time, and the game started at 2, we're comfortable inferring that that wasn't there 20 minutes earlier. This is just, there's no ice, and then there's ice and a slip and fall. And I think that's materially different because there's no way to go back and say or to draw that same inference. There it was, the dirt that would have been piled up from a rodent creating that hole was not anywhere to be found, if I remember correctly. There is grass that had grown over the hole. In relation to the start of the game, that inference makes sense. Here, we don't have the same kind of grounding facts in terms of when the game started versus when this ice, you know, to gauge when the ice might have started to form. So it was a guess by Mr. Starks, Mrs. Starks, and Mr. Starks both admitted they had no evidence to support their allegation that the ice had been there for a sufficient amount of time for Walmart to have observed it. So it's Walmart's position that it was not visible and apparent. There's no evidence in the record that it was, and that there is no evidence based on a lot of Nebraska law from which to say that ice had existed for a sufficient amount of time. For those reasons, we'd ask that the court uphold the district court's grant of summary judgment.
When I looked at the briefs, it was talking about the constructive notice component to this. What about his argument here today about creating the condition by putting the downspout there and letting the water flow on a cold day where it's 32 degrees?
Well, I would say two things. One, I think they gets into the negligent construction case. I think there's some overlap there that's problematic for the plaintiffs. And secondly, you know, I was looking at this case that you all just decided, Gless v. Dritley, I believe is how it's pronounced, and I was analogizing that argument. Well, we know that can happen. We know that water can come out of the drain spout. It can go across the sidewalk, it can form ice. And I was analogizing it to Dritley because they're saying, gosh, on a rainy day, you know folks are going to walk in with wet shoes, and therefore if there's any water, that's going to happen, and therefore you have an absolute duty, regardless of how long that particular piece of water was there, to prevent that from happening. And the Court of Appeals rejected that position in Dritley, and I think that's the same thing here. We're not... there's no case law that suggests because you know something could happen, you're under an obligation to all the time prevent it from happening. Our obligation is if we become aware of ice to mitigate it.
Thanks. Any other questions?
All right. Thank you,
Martin.
Thank you.
Mr. Welsh, I think you have some time.
I think I'm all done. I thought you did a better job than I would on rebuttal.
Well, hang on a minute. How much time do we have?
No.
How much time?
1 minute.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead.
What I was just going to say, I got my happy socks on. All we needed was just that much of a cup of ice melt. We know we've got a hazard. It's rained. It's cold. We've got people coming into the store. All I'm going to do is just spread a little ice melt, and that takes care of it. If you're not going to change the drain spout, then protect the people coming into the store because you know that you've got bad weather out there and that it is going to form ice. So just 10 cents, 15 cents worth of ice melt. That's all. Any questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. The case will be taken under submission. Parties are excused.